In your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're going to look at 17 through 24. So I'll give you a moment to find that. Starting at verse 17. Only as the Lord has assigned each one, as God has called each, in this manner let him walk. And so I direct in all the churches. Was any man called when he was already circumcised? He is not to become uncircumcised. Has anyone been called in uncircumcision? He is not to be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing, but what matters is the keeping of the commandments of God. Each man must remain in that condition in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not worry about it, but if you are able also to become free, rather do that. For he who was called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who was called while free is Christ's slave. You are bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, each one is to remain with God in that condition in which he was called. Well, as we approach this passage and begin thinking about it, initially, we may be thinking, what does this particular paragraph, right, this passage have to do with marriage? It doesn't sound a whole lot like marriage in here. And he seems to be dealing with something just a little bit different. And he mentions other situations in life, right? He mentions whether one is circumcised or not. He mentions slavery. And we need to look at the underlying principle here involved in this passage. So we must take into consideration the immediate previous context, right, in which marriage takes place. They are immersed in Roman culture. And as such, in this Roman culture, they have a common worldview around the Mediterranean world. They are on the same page in their outlook on life, husband and wife, and they embrace a false worship of idols. It is centered in autonomous thought, that is, man can think and act and live independently of the living and true God. I am a law unto myself, you see. Not only can you not tell me what to do, but the Creator of heaven and earth cannot tell me what to do. That is the mindset. It is autonomous thought. Well, what happens? There's a conversion of one of the spouses. The gospel of Jesus Christ is going out through the Mediterranean world. It reaches Corinth, and lo and behold, either the wife or the husband converts to Christianity, and the other does not. And so we have a believer-unbeliever situation, and there is a disruption then of the singular worldview into two opposing worldviews. And we ask the question, what does the believing spouse do? Understand that there are certain things outside of your control. Look at verse 16. I know we didn't read it, but look at it. Certain things outside of our control. How do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? It's unclear. God doesn't give you the power to do so. That rests with Him. And as much as you try, that may never happen. What does the believing spouse do? Understanding this, you remain as you are. You remain in that context, if at all possible. How does this all translate into our lives? So we ask, what does our God desire of us? What does God desire of me in my present life context? And how does God speak into my life as it is right now? So if for the Corinthians here, you got a husband who's an unbeliever, a wife who's a believer, she's asking, how does God speak into that situation? Well, as a basic principle in life, we are exhorted to walk in the sphere in which God has called you. And the first reason is that God has providentially put you there. God has providentially put you there. Look again at the text. I'm going to be reading out of the ESV now. In verse 17, only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned or allotted, cast lots to him, and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. Verse 20. Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. And verse 24. So, brothers, in whatever condition each one was called, there let him remain with God. Don't start making drastic changes. You've already had a big transformation take place through the gospel of Jesus Christ in your life. Don't keep making huge changes. God called you. God allotted this to you. Remain in that situation. And let God do His work in you. I want you to note well, the Lord has providentially placed you where He wants you. You see, He has assigned to each one. In the implications of it, we think we have so much control of our lives, don't we? Did you choose where you were born? About when you were born? How about you picked your parents out? No. How about social status? The condition of your parents? You chose that. You controlled that. No. No, you didn't do that either. So think about this. The living and true God chose the time, place, and in what life context in which He would call you through the gospel as well. He allotted you your place. He put you right where He wanted you to begin your life and grow and develop. And He was overseeing it all. And just as important it is in the life context or situation in which you were called, where you begin to learn to walk with the Lord. The pasture isn't always greener. The grass isn't always greener on the other side. And if we just simply take Him at His word that He was doing something in us, He converts us, we find where we are, and we learn to grow, we learn to love our God and our neighbor where He planted us. You do not live for anyone else, nor seek to be someone else. And we can be assured that God is with you there. God is with you there, walking with you in that life context. And it is in that life context that you must walk and learn to walk with God. And of course, there are exceptions we're going to get to later. You must remember something always throughout your life. You must remember that your walk, not apart from, but rather with God in your particular life context. He is with you. This is true whether you are married or unmarried, you see, whether you live in a mixed marriage, believer, unbeliever. He is with you in that context, and He speaks to you in that context. And as God is with you, get your walk in line with Him in that situation before you try to change gears. That is, change the condition of your life. If your walk with the Lord is not up to par, it likely won't be any better when you get married, right? If you think you're in one situation and your life is, miserable. I think I forgot to turn on my mic. Is that better? Okay, sorry. It's been a while. If your life in a particular context, let's say miserable, right? And you think, oh, if only I was in that context of life, I'll get married, then it will be great. But you haven't dealt with the miserableness part of your life. So you get married. Guess what you carried with you? You carried with you the miserable part of your life, and now not only is it you participating in it, now you've lassoed someone else to participate in it with you. You see what I'm saying? Learn where you are. Begin to grow where you are. Learn to take your lumps and bruises and so forth where you are, in which God has called you. Next, make the most of the opportunity God has given to you. Look at the text again. Verse 18, was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? Let him not seek to remove the mark of circumcision. Was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision. Verse 19, for neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision. Verse 21, were you a bondservant when called? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity. Verse 22, for he who was called in the Lord as a bondservant is a freedman of the Lord. Likewise, he who is free when called is a bondservant of Christ. So our first observation is serving the Lord is not hindered by your position in life. So think about it in terms of the ancient world, if you can. In the Roman world, it was basically viewed through the lens of the rich and the poor. There was the landowner and the one who worked the land. In the Roman world, there was the slave and the free. There were those who conquered and those who did the conquering. And those who were conquered served at the pleasure of those who did the conquering. Think about it also in terms of the Jewish mindset. There was a division between Jew and the rest of the world, the Gentiles, Jew and Gentile. The Jews alone, through much of history up until this point, almost all of history, the Jews alone were the people of God. With few exceptions, typically Gentiles had to become Jews, had to become circumcised, had to to come in through a particular way and accept Judaism in order to be numbered among God's people, and thus we hear of proselytes. The great confession of faith given by Ruth was typical when she said, "Your people shall be my people, and your God my God." Note once again what Paul says. Was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision. If circumcision was the issue, Paul would never have said anything like this. In fact, the Lord God is now making one new man out of the two, Jew and Gentile, and he is bringing them together in one, in his Son, Jesus Christ, right? And he has removed the barriers, and he has killed the enmity. And in this age, the Lord is making himself known through the church, the pillar and support of the truth. And then remember, it is the Lord you serve. It is the Lord you serve. Once we accept that it is the Lord who has providentially put us where he wants us, then it is a matter of plugging in to serve in our given life context. In the Roman world, that context could have meant being a slave. In that life context, it could have meant being free, yet striving for an autonomous mindset that rejected the Creator for the creature, thus not really free. As a Jew, it meant being under Rome's thumb. And with the resurrection of the Messiah, it meant you might find yourself circumcised or uncircumcised. And in virtually any society of that day or now, you are either married or unmarried. And it could mean that you are living in a mixed marriage of believer and unbeliever. Whichever context one found himself or herself, it did not hinder one then from serving the Lord. And it does not hinder you from serving the Lord in whatever life context in which you find yourself even now. It does not matter, because one can always do what? One can always love God, and one can always love one's neighbor. And of course, I mentioned earlier, there are exceptions. We are not given permission to remain in a situation where we maintain a sinful lifestyle. We are called out of sinful lifestyles. And in fact, Christ sets us free from that. One does not become a drug pusher or user to reach other addicts or pushers, right? One does not become a drunkard to reach other drunkards. The Lord delivers us out of sin and sinful lifestyles. And in so doing, he trains us and brings forth growth within us so that we might be used of God to reach others who are trapped in sin. And then I would suggest, consider that which matters most. Look at 19 again, verse 19. Watch how he finishes. We sort of cut it off in the middle of the verse. "For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision." But then we ask the question, well, what does count? What does matter? And Paul answers that for us, keeping the commandments of God.
Verse 23, you were bought with a price. Do not become bondservants of men. So as we look at it, we are to remain faithful then to the promise of God. Remain faithful to the promise of God. And it starts, I would suggest, with our Lord's own faithfulness. And for that, you have to think a little bit about redemptive history. You have to draw on your knowledge of the Old Testament. We can ask a general question. Was God faithful throughout the whole Old Covenant economy? Was there ever a time when anybody, believer or unbeliever, within the mass of humanity, Jew, Gentile, could ever say, oh, there's the spot where God was unfaithful? See, that's the challenge, right? And that's the claim on our lives. God is faithful. And He is faithful to you. So God established the Abrahamic covenant to which He remained and remains faithful. That's why you're a believer. Because God's promise was that it would be to Abraham and to his seed and what? That in his seed, God's blessing would come to the nations. To the nations. And God was faithful to that promise, and it was beginning to take root and sprout forth and bear fruit for God's glory. It was the Abrahamic covenant that served as the occasion for freeing His people Israel out of the bonds of slavery in Egypt, if you remember. The Lord had told Abraham, this promise is sure and true. However, you will be under the domain of another nation. You will be slaves of another nation. And I will bring you out of there back to this place. Did God faithfully do so? Yes, He did. He redeemed His people. And so the Lord's love and faithfulness called upon His people to respond in kind. Respond in kind. God's people were called to love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. God's people were called to faithfulness to His promise. You are married. Most of you have been, were, still are married. You made promises, didn't you? You did not promise to be self-willed and selfish. Well, unless you made up your own vows or something. I suspect if you did do that, your potential partner would have said at the altar, forget you. No, you promised to love no matter what, to be faithful no matter what, no matter what transpires in life. You see, no matter what, let's put it a different way, no matter what God providentially brings into your lives as a married couple. Any difficulties, any joys, sorrows, whatever it might be. God is faithful to you. You in turn be faithful to Him. So God's people were called to love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And God's people were called to faithfulness to His promise. And faithfulness to God's promise was displayed in keeping the commands of God. Jesus said, If you love me, you will what? You'll obey me. That's an expression of love. Their relationship with the living God was not to be viewed as a burden, but as a loving response to what the Lord has done for them. They faithfully respond. In other words, they were called upon to follow the way of the Lord and embrace Him fully. It was and is the same for the church. The church is brought into relationship with the living and true God at the Abrahamic covenant being the foundation of that relationship. Because of God's promise to Abraham, the Gentiles or nations are brought into a saving relationship with the living and true God. Remember again, Jesus our Lord killed the enmity or hostility that existed and that prevented that saving relationship. And the Lord sets His love upon the church as He set it upon Israel of old, and He is faithful to His promise. So the church is to respond in love to her loving Lord. The church is to be faithful to her faithful Lord. The church remains faithful to the promise of God by embracing His ways for us. Being faithful to our God is a concrete demonstration of our love for our God. And then we are to be embracing the correct worldview. Look again at what he says at verse 23. You were bought with a price. Do not become bondservants of men. Why should we be embracing the correct worldview? The answer is because you are bought with a price. We have run into this phrase before at the end of chapter 6 at verse 20 where Paul said there, "For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body." So let's consider the idea further. We were bought with a price. Beloved, our Lord has set you free. He has set you free from the shackles of sin. Remember the words of Jesus when He told the Jews who had believed Him, "Everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin." And though, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Beloved, just as Israel was set free from their bondage and slavery, so you are set free from slavery to sin through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He buys you with His own blood. You now belong to the Lord. And because we now belong to the Lord, we are to embrace His ways. Because we now belong to the Lord, we are free to walk in His ways. Being set free means that we are bound to Christ and we find our freedom in the path that He sets before us. You have been set free and you belong to the Lord, and so you embrace His view of life. What does God say about life, you see? You reject the jaundiced lenses previously worn and you see life now through the biblical lens. He alone is the Creator and He did so by the word of His power. He alone is the Redeemer and He did so by His own blood. He alone is the Sustainer and He does so by His word. He alone is the consummator and He will bring about His purposes and His desired conclusion or goal. Now not only are we bought with a price, but He also says, do not become bondslaves of men. Now the Apostle Paul is not necessarily speaking in terms of being owned by someone else by way of revolt. Earlier he says that if you are able to become free, go ahead and do that. We need to understand what his main concern is here. And his main concern is, what is it that is mastering you? What is mastering you? What is it now that is commanding your life? You see, is it the Lord, or is it a facet of sin in some way? Is it a worldliness? What is commanding you? What is mastering you? As we think about this, he seems to be speaking of a worldly point of view then. He is speaking about the ways and wisdom of men. Do not get trapped by those. We've already seen how the Corinthians have been having trouble with embracing the wisdom of men, being enslaved by the wisdom of men for life. Remember, they had embraced the gospel for their salvation and called upon the name of the Lord, but in terms of how they lived out their newfound faith, they reverted back, or were reverting back, to their old ways, the ways of men. Christ had set them free from the worldly way of viewing things. Paul exhorts them not to get entangled in it again. As we wrap up our thoughts for today, walk in the sphere in which God has called you. Gain a greater appreciation that God has been at work in your life for longer than just this small little period of time that you might be thinking of. He planned your life. You didn't plan it. Again, you didn't choose your parents, when you would be born, how you would be born, any of those things, into what context you would be born. God did that. He has providentially put you there. And you are here with his guidance. So recognize that God is with you in your life context. And in that context, God has continually been training you and sustaining you. And in that context, God has been preparing you, prepared you, and continues to prepare you. And in that context, remember, the promise of God's presence and protection of his purpose in you. He will accomplish it. Make the most of the opportunity, then, that God has given to you. Any perceived hindrances are just that. Age is a perceived hindrance. And again, as a reminder, we're good at saying, oh, I'm older now and I can't do what I used to do when I was younger, right? Well, what are you able to do, you see? It isn't about what you cannot do. It is about what you are able to do, how God has still gifted you, how God is still able to use you in your particular situation in life. God has given you a place to serve, and above all, remember, it is the Lord you serve. And consider what matters most. Remember to remain faithful to the promise of God. He is most important. Make him most important in your life. Our Lord loves you and is faithful to his promise toward you. In response, love the Lord and remain faithful to him. Remember to embrace the correct worldview. Why? Well, you were bought with a price. And don't become slaves of men. Don't get caught up in the major philosophies of the day, the things that are popular today, and whatever it might be, the newfangled thing coming down the pike to lead you away from the safety and security that God offers. but instead embrace the wisdom of God in the cross for all of life. Amen.